This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Art in Texas is proven to be a big plus for the state. It generates income, tax dollars, jobs, tourism, and produces the quality of life opportunities that the highly educated seek when they're picking a cool place to live. But state funding for the arts is lagging. Texas is ranked 46th in the nation for per capita spending for the arts, and there's talk in Austin that the arts funding could be slashed in the current budget. Also, the Trump White House is proposing the elimination of the National Endowment for the Arts. So the question, it's a good question to have, good conversation to have. What is the proper role that government funding should have in the arts? There's a philosophical point that government should play no role in arts funding. But a new report out from the Texas Cultural Trust shows us that every dollar spent on the arts pays off multiple times in many areas of interest to local and state governments. So what say you? Should Texas fund the arts? At what level? How should the city of San Antonio step in? What are your concerns about these proposed deep cuts or elimination to the funding of the arts? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. This is a community conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet us at @tprsource. We're joined this half hour by Gary Gibbs. He's the executive director of the Texas Commission on the Arts. Ellen Mason, communications director at the Texas Cultural Trust. And with me in the studio is Debbie Rockesetter. She is the director for the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture. It's great to have all of y'all here.
Thank you. It's good.
Thank
to
you.
Be
great
here.
To be here.
Thanks.
Ellen, let me ask you, since y'all came out with this study for the Texas Cultural Trust, tell me more about this study. How do we know this figure, $5.5 billion, it's a lot of money. What does that mean?
Well, where we get our numbers would be the comptroller's office. So we look at reported income and income tax spending based on certain codes. So I would say that unlike a lot of surveys that you may see out there that get into multipliers and stuff, our numbers might even be conservatively based considering they are only on the tax reporting that we have access to. But I've been working at the trust now for about 5 years. I've been a part of about three of these studies, and the number keeps going up. When I started, it was 4.9 in 2013, and here we are in 2017, and we're reporting that arts and culture industries bring in $5.5 billion into the state every year, and in addition, an extra $343 million in state sales tax revenue. One in 15 Texans is employed in a creative sector job. That's 800,000 people who are employed. And that sector is scheduled to create new jobs, I want to say about 200,000 net new jobs by 2019. So this is a sector that is growing, and it employs a lot of people. It creates revenue. And then we can also get into the intangibles. Yes, this is exactly vibrant arts and culture scenes in a city is exactly why people want to stay and plant their roots and grow and work and live. So it's also a way to attract businesses to come to your city, therefore creating more jobs. And people are going to be more likely to stay and work for your company if they have more to do than just work for your company, if they have access to. And it's not just big long centers and Tobin centers like you have in San Antonio, but we're talking about, like when our coffee houses stay late, open late on a Thursday afternoon and have like Latin jazz quartets and put artists' work on their walls. All of this is what creates a vibrant place that people want to stay and work and live. But then we also do have some pretty important numbers. I mean, that's $5.5 billion with a B. And people seem to view that the arts are the low-hanging fruit on the chopping block when it comes to a budget. And I don't think that anybody should cut an industry that can bring in $5.5 billion without really taking a serious look and maybe a big gulp swallow before they cut that. I'll let Gary talk about it, but he has a very small budget.
Yeah, let me ask him about
to
that.
Work with.
So Gary Gibbs, Executive Director, Texas Commission on the Arts. Ellen Mason tells us you have a small budget. How small is that?
Yeah, it's $7.6 million a year. For the state of Texas. As you mentioned earlier, we rank 46th in per capita funding at about 30 cents per citizen.
And where does that budget look like in the current budget? Where's that number going?
Well, currently in the introduced bills in both the Senate and the House, All agencies were required to take a 4% reduction, which we did when we made our request. And then when the bills were introduced, money that we received last session for cultural districts, we have 35 cultural districts throughout the state, and we received a $5 million appropriation to fund projects in those cultural districts. In San Antonio, you actually have two cultural districts. And those funds are missing in the introduced bill. So we've requested to have those funds restored, but as of today, and of course this process goes throughout the session, those funds are still missing in our bill pattern.
How are those monies usually spent? In San Antonio, we have two cultural districts, and so Debbie, where that's King William, and what's the other one?
The Zona Cultural.
So that would be like Market Square and that place?
Right. So it goes from Main Plaza to Market Square up Commerce Street.
All right. And so what kind of, and so Debbie, how would that money, been? How has that been used in the past?
Well, we are a newly designated cultural zone as of last year. So we are unable to apply for any funds because there aren't any. But the idea would be, you know, we have our Market Square that needs major renovations, but we also have the Centro de Artes that we just recently started doing our own exhibits in, could be a good use of those types of funds as well. And then the city is investing in the Zona Cultural as well for streets and other areas.
Okay, so let me ask you, Gary Gibbs, if they zero out of all this money for cultural districts across the state, 35 of them, you say, that would be elimination of what kind of programs?
Well, we would have to put that grant program on hiatus, so people would not be able to apply for this funding. This funding for cultural districts is very unlike the other types of grants that our agency gives, because you can use it for infrastructure programs. So, for instance, in the King William District, they got a grant to do signage to direct people better within the district to the cultural assets that are there.
All right, so this is money that would be used to help in, a lot of tourists go down there. And I know that a big source of funding locally for arts does come from the hotel motel tax. So it sort of all feeds into that area. Is that the logic, Gary?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Cultural tourists are the highest spending tourists that there are. And they tend to stay longer in a place, they spend more money in a place, they bring more people with them when they come to visit. So they're very important to the entire tourism industry in the state of Texas. And the cultural district grants that we awarded can be used to make that visitor experience a much more positive one, including blockbuster exhibits or amazing performances that are unique for Texas or a Texas premiere. Things of that nature that attract a large number of folks.
All right. When we come back from this break, we'll take some of these calls from Lester and from C. Leroy. And also, I want to ask you, Gary, about some of the services that you provide at the Texas Commission of the Arts in regards to helping artists learn how to become self-sustaining and how to find money out there in the world. You have a multiplier effect when you help develop artists as an infrastructure in Texas and the roles that you play in that. So our phone lines are open if you want to give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. What is the state of funding for the arts in Texas? We invite you into our conversation, 210-614-8980. Lester is on the line. Lester, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, David. I hope everybody's doing well today. And I'm glad we're having this conversation because I think our big issue, and I do have a question, our big issue right now is state and the country is our priorities, or are our priorities. I mean, it makes no sense when we can do all kinds of studies and know the ancillary positive effects of music and culture and art in schools and still allow the leadership, the Republicans mainly now who are in leadership, to continue to defund these things. So my question is, and I'm sick of marching, I'm sick of protesting, and I don't think I need to go and sit in the senator's office or make any phone calls, but there's got to be something that we can organize as citizens of the state and the country to be able to manifest this budget need? So that's really my question. What kinds of ideas do you guys have, you as a cultural center in San Antonio and of course you at the Texas Department for the Arts, or what should we really be doing to organize well and get this funding back, both in schools, in communities, et cetera?
All right, Lester, thank you for the question. So let me direct it to Ellen Mason at the Texas Cultural Trust, since you do lobby for arts spending and you can show, you're going to the numbers, you're showing the data, you're hoping that politicians, people who make these decisions, will look at the practicality of this?
Absolutely. That is what we do. You know, you have to kind of know your market or know your audience. It's the first rule of marketing. So that is why we talk about the business, I guess, of the arts, that we will always have a financial spin and now even an education spin that we promote every legislative session. How to change the conversation, how to change the thought process around the arts, there really is no simple answer. I do know, as the gentleman who called in and a lot of people that I talk to, everybody feels like their voice isn't getting heard at the national government level and some even the state. But I do believe that the only way or one of the best ways that we can affect change, policy change, is to stay vocal and stay active and let our representatives know that we support the arts and this is not okay. To cut it, we at the Texas Cultural Trust like to say that we bring the unusual suspects together. So, yes, we do go to big businesses, and we do go to, other types of industries that you wouldn't normally think of that would support the arts, and we make the case that you should support the arts in order to make your business successful. Unfortunately, this change is not going to happen overnight. I think that depending on where you are in Texas, some cities are a lot more into it than others. I think that we do have a good starting handle on people who are vocal to their local representative. We at the Trust, you said we lobby. We are not a lobbying group. We are an advocacy group, so that is what our role is right now. It's really the 30,000-foot level that this is what the arts and culture brings in. We were founded to help support the TCA. Texas Commission on the Arts is the state agency. As such, is they're really not supposed to advocate for themselves or fundraise. They receive cultural appropriations from the government. They turn around and grant them out. And that is what we were created to do, was to find private dollars to match the public funds in support of the TCA. And in that time, the Texas Cultural Trust has grown their own projects and initiatives. And I just gave a panel speech this past Sunday, and I know that, you know, very few people want to hear it. But, yes, you do need to get to know your representative. You do need to make your voices heard. And we're in session now. My office is two blocks away from the Capitol. I know that they're getting slammed. I think it's important that, you know, the other year and a half that they're still your representative, but they're not at the Capitol because it isn't session. That's the time that you really need to reach out and get to these people and build that relationship and let them know. All of our information is downloadable on our website. Anybody who wants to get involved in the arts can sign up. They can download it. They can use our information to send letters and make phone calls. But that really is the best way at this point, I think, to help kind of affect that policy change, that conversation, the thinking of the arts, that it is an essential part of our state's economy and not an outlier as far as what budget cuts do. We talked about cultural tourism before the break, and it brings in cultural tourism surpassed $6.7 billion in spending in Texas in 2015. They created 648,000 jobs with earnings in excess of $23.7 billion. I think this is powerful information, and I think the more people rally around it and really let their constituents know or their representatives know that their constituents want them to support the arts, that's going to be the best way for us to affect that policy change.
So we look at these big numbers, $5.5 billion that the arts have generated for the state of Texas, and how all this activity, do you really need government involvement in order to see all of that positive cultural tourism? And so Gary Gibbs, Executive Director of the Texas Commission of the Arts, what is it that you provide at the Texas Commission of the Arts that no one else can do?
I would say, just like the National Endowment for the Arts, we provide a good housekeeping seal of approval, because every arts organization cannot live just from government support. But they but other funders that they're required to match all of our grants dollar for dollar, if they know that they have been funded through the TCA, that means that their application has been vetted by experts, not government bureaucrats, but experts from the field of the arts that have looked at those applications, adjudicated them, given them a score, and then based on that score, that's their grant award. And so that serves as a signal to other funders in the philanthropic world that the projects that that the TCA awarded a grant to are worthy of their own support. And so it helps all the arts organizations throughout the state in their own private fundraising efforts.
A lot of organizations have websites, but I've looked at yours and I saw a lot of great information for anyone who is interested in joining the arts world. If someone's saying, I want to be an artist, how do I do that? I guess one of the first places to go would be to the Texas Commission of the Arts website. You see information about funding, about creating a self-sustaining business model for an individual, and also about opportunities across the state and nonprofit and leadership abilities as well.
Absolutely. We're more than just a granting organization. We're also a resource and professional development organization, and we try to strengthen our sector by providing these tools online. And you can always just give us a call, too, if you have a question. We're a very customer service-oriented agency, and we're willing to help the creative professionals in our state.
Another caller, and our phone lines are open. If you got a question or comment, the number is 210-614-8980, and C. Leroy is on the line. C., welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Dave, thank you so much. My name is C. Leroy Cavazos Reyna. I'm the Vice President of Government Affairs for the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and thank you so much for entertaining this conversation that is vital to the economic vibrancy of our city. While a lot of people think that the arts is this spectacle thing that just adds character to our city, the arts in San Antonio is a big economic driver and contributor to our sound economy here in San Antonio as well as across the state. We're also very richly blessed by having national organizations like the National Association of Latino Arts and Culture that is headquartered here in San Antonio on our west side, that they receive state and federal funding for arts projects to continue to revitalize the west side and the art that it provides. And I just wanted to call in and affirm to this panel the importance and the support from a business organization like ours for the arts, because it is something that is very heavily impacting the San Antonio economy. Recently, the city assisted the arts community by dedicating some of the bond money that the voters will vote on in May to the arts community, and that's very important as well. We're very heavy on the advocacy for the bond and encourage everyone to continue to support these types of efforts, because the investments that we make in our arts and culture community today will shape the San Antonio economy of tomorrow.
All right, C. Leroy, thank you for those comments. Let me switch over to Debbie Rocasetta, Director for the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture. How does your department do what C. Leroy was talking about, create all of these expressions of what does it mean to live and be from San Antonio?
So our department is kind of an advocacy department as well for the arts, much like some of the other folks that we have on the show. But what we do is we actually get about $10 million every year from our hotel occupancy tax, and we re-grant $6 million of that to our art agencies. And we're very concerned about the impact of losing federal and state dollars for our agencies. Particularly, the city is a very large organization, so money from TCA and NEA is not very much for us. But for these agencies, it can be up to 30% of their budgets when they're small, community-based. Larger organizations, it would be a much smaller amount. So imagine if you have a $10 million budget and you lose $10,000, doesn't do that much to you. But if you have a $100,000 budget and you lose $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, you may have to close your doors. And these are the organizations that are really changing the lives of people in our community through the arts. These are the ones that the kids are walking home from school and don't have anybody to go home to because their parents are all working, and they're going to stop off at the Guadalupe or at some of these other agencies, San Anto. Instead of getting into trouble, they're going to go to an arts organization, and they're going to learn how to socialize. They're going to work with each other in teamwork and building murals and different kind of art projects. And that's really what the arts fundamentally is doing in San Antonio. We are changing people's lives through the arts in San Antonio. It's not just a cherry on top of the ice cream. It actually is the foundation of who we are as human beings in San Antonio, and it says a lot to our culture. The arts is what speaks to that.
And Gary Gibbs, to the point about arts and children, what do we know about how arts education helps students in school have higher, better outcomes?
Well, the Cultural Trust, Ellen's on the line too, they just did a study that they released that dramatically shows that students that are involved in the arts have better attendance rates, higher academic success. They tend to graduate and go on to higher education. So the data on the impact of arts education is overwhelmingly positive. Just last night, I was watching the NBC National News, and there was a whole program on a string orchestra program in Portland, Oregon, and that showed the dramatic impact that it was having on kids. And that's one of the areas that we provide granting monies for, not only just in education, but also in criminal justice and public safety and health and human services, to work with at-risk student populations or those in the juvenile system. That's one of the things that we support.
And Ellen Mason over at the Texas Cultural Trust, is this something that you can put a price tag on, or is this one of the intangibles?
Not necessarily a price tag, but at-risk high school students who complete more than one arts class, so we're not talking a lot, are half as likely to drop out. Students who have access to more than one arts class have up to 15% higher pass rates on standardized test scores across all subjects, across schools, urban and rural. High school students who have access to an arts-rich education attend an additional week of school each year. And you may know that schools get federal funding on a per-head, per-day head count, so that does equal more money for the schools. And it says 9 out of 10 parents, through a poll that we did, support increased funding for the arts in their schools, and 89% of Texas parents believe that art and music electives are as important as athletics, including football, which I always like to throw that one in there because this is Texas, and, you know,
yeah.
Football is very, very important to Texans. So it was actually, you know, to go back to that first caller, it was actually very inspiring to hear that Texas parents did seem to actually understand that arts education is not a nice to have, but a need to have. You will get the people who say, why does my child need to, you know, take music? They're not going to be the next Beyonce or whatever. So besides increasing standardized test scores, 40% more likely to enroll in education after they graduate from high school, so some sort of secondary higher level education. But besides all that, the arts are proven to teach your children confidence and teamwork and creative problem solving and leadership skills and the ability to try and fail and literally fall and get back up and start over again. Those are life skills that are taught to students by the arts that they can then take into any career, any area of their life.
Okay, Ellen, I'm going to cut you off there. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after a couple of minutes. We're going to continue our conversation about the state of funding for the arts in Texas. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We know that the arts in Texas is paying off bigly, from the music, film, museums, festivals. The industries related to the arts have contributed a nearly high of $5.5 billion to the state's economy. That's according to the Texas Cultural Trust. But meanwhile, the state of Texas not funding the Texas Commission of the Arts very handsomely. We're funded at 46th in the nation for per capita arts funding, just over $7 million. And it's being cut some more this coming budget. So where are we with the state of funding of the arts in Texas? What do you want to see happen with it? Do you support these cuts, or do you want to encourage your local lawmakers to rethink this? The number is 210-614-8980. And let's get back to the phone lines. And David is on the line. And David, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Welcome. Thank you so much, and what a wonderful conversation. What great participants. I am calling to find out how, how friendly we are, how conveniently we make San Antonio as a site for remote filming on behalf of filmmakers. I was in Dallas for many, many years helping find locations, particularly on the SMU campus for Dallas the TV show, and that really turned around an awful lot of other projects in terms of drawing attention. We have a much finer city. We have much finer locations. We have architecture that has dialogue with each other. And so I guess I really want to know how can we better promote our city as a site for filmmaking, because I think that will help boost an awful lot of other projects.
All right, David, thank you for that. So when it comes to talking about funding for the arts, frequently people are looking for grants and matching funds and offsets for filmmaking and other things. Is that something that we do here in San Antonio? Debbie Rockesetter, director for the City of San Antonio's Department of Arts and Culture.
Yes, well, we have the San Antonio Film Commission that's a part of our department, and City Council recently adopted a film strategic plan. And that strategic plan included local incentives that would be a rebate on top of the state's incentive program that would get us into the same line as Georgia and New Mexico, where a lot of films are
being made. Because these are states that really give high incentives.
They do.
That's why, like, something like Breaking Bad was done, you know, in New Mexico, because they were able to got a lot of incentives. And now look how many people go on Breaking Bad tours to see some of the sites where that hit series was done.
Yeah, we're probably going to do that with my family this spring break. But the thing about it is that we have really implemented some other strategies besides the dollars. Now, Texas needs to put the dollars back because they were cut at the state level a couple of years ago. And if we don't get at least a 30% amount that we can rebate back, we won't be competitive. And the way we do that is the state has 20% right now, and San Antonio is a distressed area for filmmaking, so we get an extra incentive of 2.5%, and then the city would put up 7.5% for a total of 30. So 30% we could rebate back for a Breaking Bad if we could have one here, and those generate tremendous amount of jobs for a community because they're long-standing jobs. TV series make quite a bit of money for your community. We did a study that over the past 3 years, just an anecdotal survey where we checked with all of the filmmakers that we knew about, and they brought about a $50 million return to our city in just films that you don't even know about, commercials, TV programs, things that you might not think of that have been done here. And so the Film Commission is trying to bring larger films, feature films. We want the documentaries. We want all filmmaking here because it is a resource. We have great locations, like the gentleman said on the phone, and we just haven't marketed those. That's something that we're going to do better. We're working on our some materials. We're going to South by Southwest. We're going to some other film markets, and we're really getting that up to speed with our new film commission.
Sometimes you see, like, San Antonio as scenes for, like, telenovelas, you know, when it's like the character will come to San Antonio on honeymoon or something. That's a tremendous advertisement for people in Mexico and Spanish-speaking viewers of these programs, because it shows San Antonio is a very friendly place for, you know, the Spanish-speaking world, and that's big business for us.
Yes, and so that goes back to that cultural tourism as well, because cultural tourism does bring in a lot of dollars to our community, and since our whole department is funded with the hotel occupancy tax, we're kind of funded by the tourists to begin with. So it is important to us that we have that tourist base, but we want to have a local economic base. We want to have people working. We want to have artists working in our community. We want them to be paid for their work. And that's why we have also some other programs that we have in our department for incubators, where we have gallery in Plaza de Armas space that is only San Antonio-based artists that exhibit there, and that's to get them started so that they can learn how to curate and exhibit and also do their work there. And then they can go on to private galleries, hopefully be able to sell their works and stay in San Antonio and not have to move away.
Well, who wants to be the next Vincent Valdez, you know, the local artist who grew up in San Antonio doing murals, and now he's being shown all over the world. He's a big-time artist. So, Ellen Mason at the Texas Cultural Trust, what about promotion of filming on the statewide level?
Yes, for sure. We do help support what we can do to help support initiatives that support the film industry coming to Texas. I know that there is a Texas Music Office. There's a Texas Film Office. They're also highly involved. They take our information and use it to help make their case. Like I said,
but you know what's really what chaps my hide sometimes is when they have a movie or a show or something that is supposedly based in Texas, but they never filmed a frame in Texas. You know, there's a TV show about, I don't know if it's still on the air or not, about San Antonio Hospital. It's not, they don't do anything here in San Antonio. It's just more economically viable to go elsewhere, even though it actually, they're using our branding.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the messages that we want to have happen with our information that we put out is that we should be giving the tax breaks and making sure that these industries stay in Texas, because that is a part of the information that we use. It is a part of the $5.5 billion. It is a part of the jobs that we count. And if we don't make it feasible or enticing these industries to stay in Texas, they will go elsewhere, and then our numbers will go down. So we're hoping that if we just continue on with our message that we need to support this industry, the arts and culture industry, in any way that we can, that we will continue to grow this vital piece of our economy and create jobs and attract tourism to come and do, like you said, the Breaking Bad tour. I'm always a part of the Dazed and Confused tour that happens here in Austin, and that movie was in the 90s? There's a lot of people that come out for that still. So, yes, we want to make sure that we work with the agencies that focus specifically on film, that they can use our information and we can go to the government and put forth that kind of united face that says this is why we support all of these things, because this is part of this vital industry that brings in billions of dollars to our economy every year and creates jobs.
Next caller, Shelley. And Shelley, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey there. Thank you for talking about something that's so important to all of us. I think a lot of people take arts and culture things for granted. My question for you is about how to change the narrative about funding for the arts. Things are very expensive, even not just the infrastructure, but just mounting your next show, for example, in a local theater. And there's no way that a privatized version where only the users can make those kinds of things happen. Ticket prices very rarely pay for the expense of mounting a show. When we talk about bringing retail companies here, like a Walmart or one of the big box stores, we consistently talk about tax breaks and incentives with their utilities, things like that, in order to attract those businesses to make the big investment of building a new store here. How do we change the narrative about the arts so that we talk about an investment in the arts being on the same worthiness as the investment in a Walmart?
Okay, Shelley, good question. I appreciate that. So, Ellen Mason, how do we do that?
I wish I had an easy answer. I might actually be out of a job if I did.
Well, we got a lot of bunch of artists working over there. You know, they're pretty clever folks. They know how to do things. Is that something,
yes.
a potential talent resource that we could tap into to show that art pays off?
Yes, absolutely. We work with those types of organizations that do, we try to work with the professional rights organizations across the state to kind of help take our message and use that for their advocacy. There's really no easy answer to these questions. That's what we do here at the Trust. And I'm going to keep repeating the same thing, but yes, we try to take these dollar stats, these job stats, and use them to help change the conversation. We want to make it so that this becomes, the arts are viewed as a need to have and not a nice to have. And even people who are pro arts, when I found that I started working here, you know, if you press them, they'd be like, oh, I support the arts because they're good and they're good. And then you tell them what we do and you give them our stats and our figures, and they have this renewed sense of passion on fighting for the arts because they now have those talking points to put behind their own advocacy efforts. It's a big state. We can't solve all problems for everyone, but we do. That is exactly what our mission is to change the conversation of how people view the arts, see them as a vital part of our economy, whether it's money and job creation and tourism and, you know, attracting businesses to come to your city. I mean, I think Walmart is a perfect example. Their headquarters are Bentonville, and now Bentonville has this amazing art museum called Crystal Bridges that was built by Walmart because they knew that if they wanted to attract people to come and stay and work there, they were going to have more than just the Walmart corporate headquarters.
Okay. So we're going to take one more break, and we'll be right back. The phone lines are open. If you've got a question or comment about the funding of the arts in Texas, where are you on this issue? The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. This is The Source, and I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the state of funding for the arts in Texas. The National Endowment of the Arts in Washington, D.C. is being talked about for elimination. That would have a negative trickle effect on the state because a lot of that money is distributed here. Also, we know that in Austin, they're talking about cutting funds for the Texas Commission of the Arts. There's a grant program that they use for funding historic districts, art districts, cultural districts that we have here, like at the Market Square and the King William area. That would have an impact on us. There's a lot of, you know, there's a cause and effect between funding of the arts from the state of Texas and what we see here, but in the state, and people want to make sure that we keep that going. So the number is 210-614-8980 if you have a question or a comment, like Carrie. Let's get Carrie on the air. Carrie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey.
All right. I was just going to make a comment on if anybody is interested on the Texas film incentives to please contact or go online and check out the Texas Motion Picture Alliance, TXMPA.org. They're the real state advocacy group that is trying to meet with all of the House and Senate representatives to make sure that they do not get rid of the Texas film incentive program.
All right, Carrie, thank you for that call. I appreciate that. So let me bring in another voice into the conversation. We're now joined by Texas Senator Carlos Yoreste from District 19 here in San Antonio. And Senator Yoreste, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, David. It's good to be with you all. In fact, we're actually working on our budget as we speak, so I stepped out so I could call in.
All right, great. So I'm glad we have you for a couple of minutes. We'll talk about if this do the rest of the senators, do you get it that spending money on the arts does pay off for the state of Texas?
Absolutely. I think there's no question about it. I think we know the positive ripple effect that it has on our state's economy, on our children's education, on our heritage, you know, our cultural heritage. So I think there's no question about it that it would be a positive thing, and it has been a positive thing for the state of Texas.
Right, but still we're seeing a 4% demand cut for the Texas Commission of the Arts. And now it is funded at $7.6 million. Also, the elimination of the zeroing out for the cultural district grants that's out there. That's going to be eliminated. So while they say, whoa, we have a budget crunch. Well, this is a manufactured budget crunch. This is not a budget crunch that came about because of a catastrophe. It's because of decisions that were made by the state of Texas.
Yeah, two years ago, last session, as you recall, we gave a $3 billion property tax cut that most folks probably didn't realize might have amounted to about $20 a month. Now, for some people, maybe that's a lot of money, but in the big scheme of things, that's $3 billion that we could have used this legislative session. And so now we're having to make some very difficult decisions. In fact, I'm in a work group as we speak that's dealing with child protective services. And, you know, that's been, you know, my top priority during my legislative career. And the proposals that are being made are serious, serious cuts. And, of course, I'm doing my best to fight against those cuts. So everywhere that certain members can look to save $2 million, $3 million, $5 million, they're doing it. However, this is a complete elimination in both Senate and the House budgets. I think it's $5 million that's being proposed to be cut, and that would just knock out. That would be a complete knockout, if you will, to this program. So hopefully we'll be able to restore some of those monies, if not the whole amount of money. But we're still in the process, and it's one of the things that I'm working on as well.
And so when you're in the minority, of course, these are decisions that are being made by the leadership in Texas, and that's going to be the Republican leadership. And when you bring up these points about, and you bring up the report that we've got from the Texas Cultural Trust showing that arts pays off bigly for the state, what kind of reaction do you get? I mean,
again, David, it's a great question, and you know, the general response that we've been getting is, it's a tough session. We're in a tight budget. Well, and we have to live within our means. Well, nobody disagrees with that. I mean, that makes sense. It sounds sensical. But again, as you mentioned, part of this was, I think, scripted from last session, where we find ourselves at. Part of it was the crash in the price of a barrel of oil. But we still have, I think, close to $12 billion in a rainy day fund that we could use to take care of basic infrastructure needs that we have. Eliminating a project like this completely just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you don't put in money and then the next session just completely defund it. I mean, that's not the way we should be funding our priorities, especially given the fact that in Texas, it has about art and cultural tourism has about a $67 billion impact, employs over 600,000 Texans. I mean, it creates about $343 million in sales tax revenue. So that's why it just doesn't make any sense to defund programs like this.
And even on days like today, when we're celebrating Texas history and remembering the fall of the Alamo, we can't tell these stories properly without funding the arts, because this is an expression of our own Texas identity. I mean, does that appeal to them?
Exactly. And one of the fun things about being here at the Capitol is you get to see all the kids that are coming up from all the schools from across Texas. I met some kids this morning from Lubbock, came all the way in from Lubbock, if you can imagine. Of course, from San Antonio and other parts of Texas. And we've got to be able to tell the story. We've got to be able to tell the great story about, you know, Texas and its history and how we're the greatest state in the country. And everyone has to be able to tell that, whether they're able to come to the Capitol, which is nice, but a lot of schools can't do that. Or if they're back home, and their teachers have to be able to do that, and the different groups out in the community have to be able to do that. So we have to do our part.
Yeah, but also do that in a way that recognizes the diversity of the state, and that frequently that the way you sing that song is through the arts funding.
Absolutely, and we honored some folks last week here at the Capitol.
Sure.
Scott Pelley, the CBS newsman. Scott Pelley, you know, does the 5 o'clock CBS News. He was born in San Antonio. I think most people don't even realize that.
Right.
Kenny Rogers, you know, everyone knows who Kenny Rogers is. Born in Houston, you know, and the list goes on. And we've got to be able to, not one, honor them, and then to just tell the story and the history about our diversity and our culture.
Okay, Senator Yedesi, I'm going to let you go back to the fighting over the budget. And I appreciate your time. Senator Carlos Yedesi, State Senator, District 19 here in San Antonio. Appreciate it. So let's switch back over to Debbie Rockesetter, Director for the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture. What about the argument to make about art for art's sake?
Exactly. And I think that's we've kind of gone around in the last several years to change the narrative, to talk more about economics and tourism, and maybe have lost really the basic argument that one of the callers ask is art for art's sake. So what is important to us as a community to remember who we are and to be humane to each other and to treat each other with decency and respect? And that's something that the arts does. It allows us to communicate with each other respectfully about maybe tough issues. And sometimes people don't want to have those conversations, but it's important that we do for our own creativity, our own intellect, for our own innovation. I mean, inventors become inventors because they thought of some kind of idea, and they're creative folks. And that's a backbone of our economy, and that's what artists are. They create They create art, which may be visual, maybe musical, maybe different types of genres.
Could be controversial.
Could be very controversial, but it's the thing that makes us problem solve. It's the thing that makes us talk to each other about real issues. And so arts are a non-threatening way to do that, rather than some of the other more violent ways that people might find to express themselves. Art is an expression of who we are and who we become or who we don't want to become. And it points those things out, and it's very important for our children to learn that the arts are about what makes us human, and that helps us to grow as a society. And let's not forget that, because we're worried about, you know, the economic discussion. Not that those aren't important, but we kind of forget the narrative of why arts matter.
Okay, Tammy has called in. Tammy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. So my question had more to do with bringing more film business to San Antonio. So 20-plus years ago, I was involved in natures of bringing business here and finding work for actors and so forth. But it seems to be an unsustainable market for that, because they come from other states and they try to downbid jobs here. Is there anything that's being done to grab those jobs away from, or make it more attractive for them to come here? Because, like in California, they're a union state, so they pay actors union rates and they pay residuals on commercials, but they right. come here and they try to get forever buyouts.
Okay, Tammy. That's a very detailed question. I don't think we can get into it right now. We don't have the right guest. We can get into that, but I think later down the line, we will have a program that will look at how to deal with bringing more funds, more films, and production to San Antonio and Texas as a whole. So, Tammy, hope you were able to listen to that program at that time. And really quickly, right now, we got about less than a minute, but Ellen Mason over at Texas Cultural Trust, what is the trajectory of arts in Texas? As we saw, $5.5 billion, where is that going? Is that going up or down?
It's, like I said, it's been going up since I was here in 2013. It was 4.9. In 2015, it was 5.1. And here we are in 2017, and it's 5.5. So even with budget cuts, hopefully this means that there is a large private sector that does help support the arts. There's a lot of people who say, I do support the arts, but I don't think taxpayer dollars should go for it, that it's the private sector can do it better. I think that that's a little short-sighted.
Yeah, but leadership can make sure that we maximize these opportunities right. and that we tell the story that Texas deserves through the art that Texas deserves. Debbie Rocha-Sitter over at the City of San Antonio and Ellen Mason at Texas Cultural Trust, thank you so much.